We'll have the deacons. We need to have a very short meeting for about maybe 3-5 minutes. It's a stand-up meeting, so we meet in the office right after church. Let's pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we are thankful this evening for your loving kindness, for your mercy, and for your power. We are thankful that we serve such a God who from eternity past has taken care of every detail of our lives. You never left anything for chance. You have mapped it out in such a way as to accomplish your good pleasure. We are just blessed and grateful that you have chosen us to be a part of that eternal plan. We realize that we are also given responsibility of being your ambassador, and we cannot do so without understanding your policies. It is for this reason that we have gathered, and also in obedience to your command that we do so. And we realize that we can't understand or even perceive or concentrate when of God the Holy Spirit. It is our request then that the Holy Spirit will give us the concentration that we need as we study through your word this evening. For we ask in Christ's name, amen. We are now in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, where we'll be dealing this evening with the farmer metaphor in endurance in the ministry. Our topic is still endurance in the ministry. See, many people want to enjoy great things of this life without laying the foundation for them. There are those who see men and women who are successful in their businesses, enjoy certain things, and want to enjoy the same without realizing that these individuals have paid a price for whatever they enjoy. Now, some think of the physicians, for example, as making a lot of money because it appears that in some cases they spend maybe only 5 minutes with you and you still pay them their full charge. Now, really, what people do not understand is that what they are paying for is not so much the service they receive at that instant, but for the knowledge of the physician and the hardship in medical school that was necessary to obtain that knowledge or that degree and the expertise that goes with it. So the point I'm making is that nothing that is worthwhile comes easy. Nothing. Anything that you get so easily, you better look at it again. Everything that is worthwhile does not come easy. Hence, we can state that it is wrong to expect great reward in life without hard work. It does not matter what your profession is. If you want to be successful, you must work hard, putting in long hours in most cases. Even if you're a student, I don't care how good you have received an intellectual gift from God, if you don't spend hours and hours, your productivity is really not what it should be, and you won't get greater much with your potential. So what am I saying? Hard work. Anywhere you look at it, pick any area of your life. If you want to be successful, there must be hard work. The point is that really I'm bringing to you an application that results from the verse that we're about to consider. If you work hard, you'll be blessed materially. Now listen to what the writer of Proverbs tells us about in this issue. Let's begin with Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. It begins, it says, "Let your hands make a man poor, but diligent hands," that's hard working, "bring wealth." Still in Proverbs, let's look at chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. It says, "A sluggard," that's a lazy person, "does not plow in season. So at harvest time, he looks, but finds nothing." Look at verse 13. "Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare." So the application we're emphasizing before we even get to our passage is that if you must be successful in life, you must be willing to work hard, even if it calls for sleeping less in your life. You should not love sleep in the sense that sleep keeps you from your responsibilities or from working hard. Of course, if you work hard, then you will enjoy your sleep. If you work hard. And if you don't believe it, try exhausting yourself someday and see how you sleep that night. Work hard. Now, be that as it may, the apostle writing under the Holy Spirit was aware of this truth that hard work is important in enjoying any kind of success in life. Therefore, when it appears that the apostle had completed his instruction to Timothy about enduring hardship, using the metaphors of a soldier, an athlete, the apostle presents one more metaphor to Timothy now, using a hard-working farmer, as we now read in verse 6, 2 Timothy 2 verse 6, reads, "The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." Now it is interesting though that this verse that I just read does not begin with any connective in the Greek text to indicate the relationship of this verse and the previous verse. It is probably because, as the apostle finished writing verse 5, that the Holy Spirit brought in his mind the thought of this verse, that in his excitement of what he communicates in the verse, he did not see the need to use any connective. In effect, it would seem that he expected Timothy to recognize the connection of this verse with the previous verses. That is, of course, that this is the case is supported by the fact that in the next verse, the apostle encouraged Timothy to reflect on his instructions to him. So in any event, the apostle expected us to recognize that this verse is still part of his encouragement to Timothy, and so to all pastors and believers, to endure hardship for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should emphasize that the Holy Spirit guided the apostle in the metaphors that he used because of the different aspects of the requirements of enduring hardship that are important for pastors. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit wanted Paul, the apostle, to be orderly in presenting these requirements. First, a requirement of enduring hardship in the ministry is that there can be no distraction on the part of a pastor. A pastor is to avoid any distraction that will cause him to be involved in in secular life to the point that he would ignore the preaching or the teaching of the word of God or the preaching of the gospel. Now, of course, that's also true of every believer. You avoid anything that would distract you. So it is for this reason that the apostle used the metaphor of a soldier who does not get involved with civilian affairs because he wants to please his commanding officer. Now, using this metaphor, the apostle emphasized to Timothy, and so to all pastors, to be single-minded in carrying out the ministry. Now, Timothy and pastors are to be so focused in their function that they cannot afford to be involved in any other thing that would distract them from their responsibility. Timothy, and so our pastors could say, well, I've got the message, Paul. So the Holy Spirit directed the apostle to say in the faith, not so fast. Not so fast. In other words, before Timothy or any pastor runs off with the understanding that he should not be become distracted, the apostle brings to his mind a second requirement. The second requirement is functioning according to the rules that God approves in the ministry. Now it is to emphasize the importance of functioning in the ministry according to the rules that the apostle introduced the metaphor of an athlete in competition who must follow prescribed rules in order to win the prize of the particular contest or game. So you see that what the apostle is doing is being orderly in presentation. Now we have said many times, you can gauge, part of ways you can gauge your spiritual life is to see how orderly you are. If you are a person who is what they call scatterbrained, confused all the time, something wrong with your spiritual life. You're not organizing it. You need to be disciplined. Structure your life around truth. Let it stabilize you. And you will not be disorganized in your thinking. The apostle is orderly. The Holy Spirit is God of order. So that's why it is that he is following specific order. For it is possible, though, for a pastor to say that he understands he should not be distracted by the affairs of this life, but still be wrong in what he does in his ministry. So the apostle mentioned the necessity of following the rules. One of which, as we saw last week, is functioning under the filling of the Spirit. Now, having given these two requirements, the apostle then mentioned a third requirement for the ministry that should follow the first two that he had been discussing. Now, once a pastor has understood that he should not be distracted by the affairs of this life and that he should function according to God's rules for the ministry, then he's ready to do his work. Therefore, the apostle tells him that the third requirement in enduring hardship is in connection with the ministry is working very hard. You see why I started by introducing the concept of being a hard working person. So it is this requirement of working hard that the apostle introduced in the very first phrase of verse 6. That phrase says, the hard working farmer. That phrase introduces this whole concept of hard working. The hard working farmer. Now it is quite interesting that the apostle used the word hard working to describe a farmer. Now you know, you see really when you wait, a farmer is one who tills the ground, sows the seeds. Now we're talking about farmer, not the modern farmers that use tractors and things like that. We're not talking about those kind of farmers. That was what the apostle had in mind. A farmer tills the ground, sometimes using mules and sometimes using hand. And then he sows the seeds We surround the crop and eventually harvest the crop. By its very nature, farming is a type of work that requires exertion of great energy and it definitely involves hard work by its very nature. So if a person is a farmer, we should expect him to be hardworking. That should be a given. But why did the apostle have to describe a farmer in this metaphor with that adjective hard working? Why did he do that? It should be a given. If we talk of a farmer, we should expect every farmer to be hard working. But in this metaphor, he threw in that expression hard working. Well, there are two possible reasons why he did that. First, some farmers are not as hardworking as they should be. So in recognition of this fact, the apostle has to use that adjective hardworking, knowing that some may not really be what they're supposed to be. The second reason, the word for farmer is translated from a Greek word, that's probably where we get the word George, I think so, that also means one who does agricultural work on a contractual basis, a contractor. Now, depending on the nature of the contract, there is a possibility of cheating. In effect, when people work for others, there is a tendency not to be hardworking as one should be if you were working for himself. That's the tendency. You know, if you control people, they may not work as hard as they should be. Now, the apostle, realizing this reality, could have decided then to use the adjective hardworking to qualify the type of farmer that he had in mind because of his relevance in what he's instructing Timothy here, and so to all of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The adjective hardworking in the English translation is actually a participle from the Greek verb that means either to become weary, to become tired, so to say, or to exert oneself physically, mentally, or spiritually, the Greek word used. Now, it is this letter sense of exerting oneself or laboring hard that is used in our passage. The Greek indicates, of course, that the apostle implies that hard work should characterize the farmer as his habit, because he used the present participle in the Greek. In effect, the farmer in view is one who continuously works hard, one that has made it a habit. You know, there are people who understand what I'm talking about. They have made a habit of hard working. It's who they are, so to say. It's a part of their being. They don't do any other thing than to work hard. So such people can understand what I'm talking about. Because if you're not a hard working person in whatever way you work, then you won't understand what the apostle is talking about. So the apostle really is talking about that farmer who does not know what it means to be lazy. He is, as we will say, a workhorse. Hence, what the apostle wants to communicate to Timothy is simply this, that hard work is an essential part of the ministry. Hard work, an essential part of the ministry. And again, as I've done with the opening introduction of application, hard work is an essential part of your well-being. If you work hard, your life becomes more meaningful. God did not create us to lot around and do nothing, destroy ourselves, because we are doing nothing. He created us knowing the importance of work. So he engineered, more or less, we need to work hard. So that's what the apostle is communicating to Timothy, that every man in the ministry should understand that hard work is an essential part of ministry. Now, it is not enough for a pastor to understand that he is not to be distracted and that he should follow the rules set in the Word of God for the ministry. But he must also know that he should work very hard. In fact, one of the rules of ensuring accurate teaching of the Word of God is to work hard in searching the Scriptures. Now, it takes time and hard work to search the Scripture to ensure that one is accurate in his teaching of God's Word. Now, I can tell you, I mean, this is not part of what is not in my notes. I'm just making an off comment now. Well, for the past 2 weeks, I would actually have been in a panic because I've been studying over 40 something, going to bus probably 50 hours. I haven't got a thing to teach you for a minute. So I should be in a panic for having spent that many hours. Don't have anything to tell you for a minute yet. So that tells me it can be scary. You know, if we're not keeping up the way we are, I could go into panic now, but I have not. So it takes time, really, to cite the Scriptures in order to do it correctly. So in any case, the apostle reminds Timothy, and so all pastors, of the importance of hard work. The ministry of the Word of God does not permit laziness. And as you've heard me say many times, and I'll keep saying it, laziness should not be a part of a Christian. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should never be described as a lazy person, because that's a poor testimony upon you. Now, the state of the church today is due in part to the fact that many pastors see what they do as an easy way of making a living. What pastors do is not a job. I mean, some people say, well, it's more of semantics, but it's not. It's more than semantics. Generally, I take issue when someone describes or speaks to me and says, my job as a pastor. In a real sense, I say, no, I don't have a job. I have a function and a way of life. Not a job per se, but a function and a way of life that function requires. It's not like a job where, you know, you clock in and clock out. I know that I realize that many pastors or many in the ministry think that's an easy way of making a living for them, because they don't understand what the ministry is all about. But what the apostle says here indicates that such thinking is false. If one functions properly as a pastor, it is the most hard work you will ever get engaged in. Now, don't just take my word for it. I know somebody else have told you something, but really, it is one of the most demanding job that you will ever do or function in case of a pastor. Now, if a pastor understands that he is involved with the soul of men, he will take his function quite seriously. He will endure hardship that comes from long hours of studying the word and then eventually teaching it. Now, I suppose that not too many people know how difficult it is to stand in front of an audience and speak for any length of time, and in most cases, telling people what you know is making them uncomfortable or what they don't want to hear. That's not easy. So, but that's the job or the function of a pastor. He has to do that. But it's much more difficult though, when you think about it, even just take standing before an audience to give a speech. It's not that easy. But it's much more difficult in the spiritual realm because of the nature of that work. You see, in preaching or teaching the word of God, one who does the teaching is fighting against Satan. That's why sometimes, if you expose him in certain ways, he goes after the teacher. But God, of course, protects the teacher. So all I'm saying is, because of having to fight against Satan, that makes the teaching of the word of God different from the job of a teacher in high school or a professor in a university. At the time of preaching or teaching of God's word, the teacher is engaged in a fight that will bring exhaustion, and which he could not, of course, carry out without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is for this reason then that a pastor or any teacher of the word of God must depend on God the Holy Spirit. If a pastor or a teacher of the word of God depends on the Holy Spirit, then he receives an unusual strength from him to enable him carry out his teaching or preaching. That's why the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit cannot be underscored when it comes to the ministry. Well, we can already emphasize the need of hard work on the part of the pastor or a pastor, as the apostle instructed Timothy to be hardworking. You see, the apostle was not really the kind of teacher who did not have experience in what he's teaching, and so become merely theoretical. No, not for the apostle. The apostle has worked hard in the ministry. Although, at the time of writing this epistle, he was confined to the point, being in prison, that he could not continue to preach and teach as he has done before that particular time. Now, even then, the writing of this epistle to Timothy was a part of his hard work in the ministry, since he wrote under the most difficult conditions. The point is that the apostle has had his share of hard work. He knows what it is. He knows what it is to work hard for the gospel. Now listen to what he said about this hard work as he spoke to the Corinthians, or wrote to the Corinthians, with respect to the ministry. So we look at what he said in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Second Corinthians 11 verse 27. It says, I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked." Now he described what he has gone through in extending the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now most pastors today are in no way experiencing what the apostles suffered for the gospel. See, he preached under most difficult conditions, but that did not stop him. Yet many of the present day pastors are not really willing to go without certain pleasures for the sake of laboring for the gospel. They want to enjoy the type of activities as others do, instead of studying the word. It is not, of course, only to the Corinthians that the apostle mentioned his hard work, because that characterized him. He did so in his epistle to the Colossians. As we read in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 28 says, "We proclaim him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, "admonishing and teaching everyone with our wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." To this end, in order to achieve what he was talking about, maturing the believers. To do that, he said, "To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy," the energy that the Lord provides through the Holy Spirit, "which so powerfully works in me." So that's his hard work. He reports it. So the point is that the apostle, by experience, knew what it meant to work hard in the ministry. Therefore, he could encourage Timothy, and so all pastors, of course, to endure hardship as they labor for Christ. If I may put it in another way, a pastor must be willing to forgo certain pleasures in order to work hard for the ministry. Now, in some cases, a pastor may have to do with little food and other necessities in order to teach the word of God. Now, it is rather unfortunate that many have been given the impression that a pastor is not supposed to suffer. That's not true. If the Lord has placed a pastor in a certain location that he must suffer to preach the word of God, then he should not become discouraged because of his hardship. That's part of him serving as a pastor. Of course, in other cases, the Lord may have placed a pastor in a situation where he is not lacking basic necessities of this life. The requirement is still the same. He still has to endure hardship. Now, the pastor, really, the problem is the pastor under such an environment where things seem to be in abundance must still study hard in order to do the work of the ministry. Abundance of material things might be a great danger, posing greater danger to the pastoral ministry than poverty. Now, this is all true of every one of us as believers. The more we prosper, the less, if we're not careful, does our spiritual life prosper. See, prosperity, material prosperity, has a way of confusing us. It has a way of distracting us. Because now that you have money, you can go there, you can do this, you can do all that. Yes. But does that distract you from your study of God's word? Now, you know, sometimes you see there's something about this God that we worship. He's a very patient God. Many times when we get so distracted, he will gradually get our attention in whatever way he chooses. But being a gracious God, he will do it in his own way, in his own time. But in terms of your attention, he will get it. But it's not necessary to go through headache or suffering in order for him to get your attention. So all I'm saying is, it could be a problem when a pastor functions in an environment where there's abundance. And that's part of a problem in this country. Well, we have been considering the encouragement of the apostle to Timothy, and of course so to all pastors, to endure hardship in the ministry, only this time that he was using the metaphor of a farmer. He's used what? Was it soldier? An athlete? No, a farmer. The question is, because we've seen why he used the others, why is the apostle now using a metaphor of a farmer? There are at least four reasons for the use of this farmer metaphor. At least four reasons. There may be more, but at least there are at least four that I will provide you this evening. First and foremost, it is because there is reward that awaits Timothy, and so all pastors, if they endure hardship in order to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. This reason is given in the sentence of where we're starting in 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. That sentence where it says, farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Now, some scholars have taken this sentence to mean that a farmer must work hard before he can enjoy the fruit of his hard work. Now, the principle behind it, or began that explanation, is true. But that is not really the sense of the sentence, since it is difficult to see how the Greek takes upon that kind of interpretation. Instead, the sense of this sentence, farmer should be the first to receive a share of his crop, the sense of that is simply this, that it is fitting or proper for the farmer to have the first right to share in his crops that come out of his farm. For the expression should be, that expression should be, is better understood as it is fitting. It is fitting. Since the Greek word used, although means should, but in this context it also means to be something that should happen because of being fitting. So it is proper or fitting by nature of the relationship of the farmer to his crops for him to be the first to receive a share of the crops after laboring hard to grow the crops. Now, since the apostle used a metaphor, his intention is to remind Timothy of the future blessing that will come to the faithful pastor or preacher of the word of God. For the apostle, Paul himself had expressed that he disciplined himself and labored hard to ensure that he will share in the blessing of the gospel, as he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. We're going there just to prove the point that the apostle himself had labor because he expects to share some blessing from the gospel or preaching, ministering about the gospel. So 1 Corinthians 9:23 says, I do all this, including discipline of the body and so on, I'm preaching, for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. See, there are tremendous blessings in the gospel, in giving it out, preaching it, and all other things that go with it. Now, every pastor who labors hard to teach his congregation will certainly reap untold benefits beginning in this life. Untold benefits that begin in this life. You see, there is joy that comes to a person when he sees an individual respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and so be saved, or when a believer grows and applies the word of God correctly. It's very refreshing, very encouraging, very exciting. If you've never known that, you will know what I'm talking about. It's very exciting when you know that there are some believers that they're growing, and you listen to them, you share their excitement. To me, that's one of the great blessings of a pastor. To know that, I'll be honest with you, I get a dose of it from this congregation. Because, people tell me about some of the ways that they're experiencing some phenomenal things that the Lord is doing with them, through them. And when I hear that, it excites me. It makes me want to study more, if I could. Well, there's also the fact that a pastor who performs his function correctly shares also in the material blessings of those he teaches. You see, it is impossible for a believer who understands the source of his blessing as the Lord not to share his blessings with those that teach him the word. Impossible. If you don't do that, you really haven't begun. You don't understand it yet. It's just impossible for the Lord to be blessing you and you don't share those blessings with those who teach you the word of God. It just doesn't happen. Of course, the concern of the apostle here is that of the blessing in the eternal state. So he's saying there is blessing. It begins now. But yet, as we live on this planet, it is veiled. We cannot see it fully. But when this veil is removed, we will see the great reward that the Lord will give to those who are faithful towards his word. Second reason, a fact that he used this metaphor, is because, and this second reason of course is similar to the first one, and it is because the apostle also wants to remind the church, because this is not only given to Timothy, but to the church of the importance of the support of those who minister to them. Our Lord taught that a laborer is worthy of his hire. This truth the apostle had also taught both in his epistle to the Corinthians and Galatians. Therefore, the mention of the enjoyment of crop by the farmer is to remind us that those who labor hard to teach their congregations ought to be the first to reap great benefits spiritually and physically from those they teach. The doctrine of material support of those who teach has been taught severally by the apostle, but let's just look at one quickly in passing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 11. This is what he says. He begins, who serves as a soldier at his own expense. And you know that makes sense. The soldiers will go to war, they don't go on their own expense. Somebody has to pay. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of his grapes, who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk. Do I say this merely from a human point of view? This is a human illustration. Say, is this really what I'm doing? Say, doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely. He says this for us, doesn't he? Yes. This was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, that's what I was, first thing I was making an issue of. Now, is it too much if we reap a material benefit or harvest from you? That's his question. Which shows what I was just saying. It's just impossible. If you're maturing spiritually and you understand the source of your blessing that's coming from the Lord, that comes through part of the teaching of his word to you, then it is almost unimaginable that such a believer will not share with those who teach him. So you see this idea that pastors should receive the leftover of things is purely unbiblical. It doesn't come from the Bible. It may come from culture, tradition, but not the Bible. Now recall though, let me show you what I'm saying. Now recall that the Israelites were commanded, we live that pattern. They were commanded to give their first fruits to the Lord. For who? Which will actually be enjoyed by the priests who serve in the temple. According to the instruction of Numbers, chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18 beginning at verse 12. We read verse 12 and 13. All I'm showing to you is that it's unbiblical to think of leftovers for pastors, because they really get the very first things because of this function with the Lord. And here we're seeing the pattern among the priests, because the priests serve the same thing as pastors do to the local congregations today. He says, I give you all the finest olive oil, not leftover, finest, and all the finest new wine. And grain they give the Lord as the first fruit of the harvest. You know, under the agricultural economy, what it was, God had given the instruction to the Israelites, when you plant, before you even eat any part of it, as soon as you harvest it, take the very first one, go to the temple, give it to the Lord to be eaten by the priests. That's the instruction. Verse 13 says, all the land's first fruit that they bring to the Lord will be yours, the priest. Now everyone in your household who is remaining clean may eat it. So you see that this whole idea of leftovers for pastors, it's not from the Bible. It may have come from somewhere else. So that's the second reason that the apostle used this metaphor. Third, the apostle used the metaphor of a farmer to remind Timothy, and so all pastors, and for that matter, for all of us, the importance of patience. The importance of patience. How come, you may say? Well, a farmer must patiently work hard. He plows and plants the seeds, but he must patiently wait for the Lord to bring the rains that his crop needs to germinate and to grow patiently. In the same way, a pastor or a teacher should continue to teach and preach, but must wait patiently for the Lord to bring results in those he teaches or preaches to. Now that's very important, because there are times you may be a teacher or a preacher, you are of the word of God, you teach many things to people, and when you turn around or even you watch them, it doesn't seem like they even had what you taught, because it's, you know, it has nothing to do with them. Then this passage is really telling, this analogy or metaphor is, be patient. It got to be when God the Holy Spirit walks, and when the Holy Spirit walks, they'll get it, or he'll get it, or she'll get it. But before that, you have just entertained the person, so to say, or made them mad, depending on which way it is. Furthermore, really, if the farmer recognizes that he's helpless without the Lord providing the rain, so he waits patiently. A pastor or a preacher should recognize that without the Lord, he could do nothing that will bring glory to our Savior. So he must wait patiently. Be patient and let the Lord do his job. Fourth, the metaphor of the farmer is to indicate that Timothy, and so all pastors, should follow the rule of being under the control of the Holy Spirit. See, the Apostle Paul sees the ministry in terms of planting seed, as he described in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. All we're saying is, because the apostle using this metaphor of a farmer, he sees the ministry in terms of planting seeds, and realizes that, you know, a believer cannot do anything, or the one who plants, except to just be patient and depend on the Lord to do what he does best. So this is where he puts it. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Just as if, you know, if a farmer tears the ground, put the seed in, if God doesn't bring the rain, nothing happens. Verse 7 says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. In other words, don't give credit to the man. Really, it is the Lord that does everything. But only God who makes things grow. He is the one that produces the impact. That now does not remove the responsibility that God has given to pastors or those each believer to tell others about the truth. But eventually, you have to recognize that it's God who is going to make it grow. Verse 8 says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. You can be sure you'll be rewarded. Now recall then that we emphasize that the first rule for effective ministry is being under the control of the Spirit. To seek to study and teach under the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to recognize that one cannot do anything meaningful, spiritually of course, without the Holy Spirit. A farmer can plant all seed he wants, but if God does not act, then all his effort is wasted, because the seed will not germinate or grow but die. So, in using the farmer, or using the farmer metaphor, the apostle wants pastors, and so all believers, not to forget that we are powerless to bring about any effect through the Word of God. We must depend on God the Holy Spirit to work out His purpose through the preaching of the gospel or the teaching of doctrines to believers. It is important that as you witness to others, that you remember that you are merely a vessel, that only God can bring about conviction and compassion. So then let me end this verse by reminding all of us that his emphasis is hard work for reward. Therefore, if you are a believer and as you serve the Lord, then you can be certain that in the eternal state you will receive great reward. To this end then, let me encourage us with the words of, first of all, 1 Corinthians 15:58. First Corinthians 15:58. It says, there is, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Whatever you do in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe you me, it will be rewarded. Hebrews 6, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 is the last encouragement. He says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him. This is the way you show him love, not, you know, not any other way, but what he's saying here. As you have helped his people and continue to help them. My fellow believers, be encouraged that your labor, your hard work is not in vain. The Lord will reward you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to remind us the necessity of hard work, serving you, doing things, knowing fully well that in the end you're going to reward us. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.